Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. This song is for the children and their dreams. You can be a lawyer, doctor, and even a president. All you got to do is believe.
By yours truly, all rights reserved. Soul School Music was created by yours truly in honor of the Shy Lights and their legendary status in the music entertainment field. So it brings us pleasure to honor the two last men standing, Dr. Marshall Thompson and Dr. Otis Williams. But before we get to them, let me get to our producer, Ms. Daisy Brown, always right here helping us hold it down. What's happening, Queen? How are you this evening?
I'm fine. I'm happy. I'm excited. And I'm looking very, very forward to this show because we have two doctors in the house. Amen. Or should I say,
amen.
May I have an aspirin, please? May I have an aspirin, please?
Amen to that.
Welcome.
Well,
welcome,
we want to.
Welcome.
Yes. We definitely want to honor our sponsors, Dream Castle Villa in Montego Bay, Jamaica, Tri Family Channel, The Shy Lights, Soul School Music, and Dr. Joseph Jackson Jr., the leader of the Tougaloo Nine. We thank our supporters for their contribution in making this show possible. And without further ado, let's welcome Dr. Marshall Thompson.
You know the name.
You saw their story on Undone.
You remember?
I guess our system would like to pay bills first, but it's not happening. Like I said, without further ado, we will be welcoming Dr. Marshall Thompson.
This legendary supergroup formed in the late 50s as two separate groups, the Chanteurs and the Desideros, joined forces in the early 60s to become Marshall and the Highlights. In 1964, they changed their name in tribute to their hometown, Chicago, and became the Shylights. The hits started coming in 1971 and 1972 with Have You Seen Her and Old Girl, each selling over 1 million copies. In 2000, they were inducted into the Rhythm and Blues Foundation. In 2005, the Vocal Group Hall of Fame. And in 2013, the R&B Music Hall of Fame. Their music has been heard around the world as well as movies. In 1996, they appeared in Original Gangsters, Only the Strong Survive in 2002, and recently the movie trailer for the Disney picture Finding Dory. They continue to wow audiences worldwide.
And ladies and gentlemen, live on Tribe Family Channel's Soul School Music, Dr. Marshall Thompson. What's happening, Godfather?
Everything is going good. Everything is a pleasure. What I'm looking forward to tonight with my best friend in the music business that I went to store for when I was a kid to get some hamburgers across the street on 47th Street.
And ladies and gentlemen, let me turn you over to Dr. Marshall Thompson, Ms. Daisy Brown, and welcome live to Tribe Family Channel's Soul School Music, Dr. Otis Williams. Welcome, everyone.
Thank you so much. And welcome, Dr. Williams. I'm looking forward to the show.
Well, I'm here. Thank you. Nice talking with you.
Well, I'm sure you don't remember me. I was Billy Taylor's office manager for years when you all were coming to Baltimore. And I've been with Marshall for 52 years. So we've passed each other quite a few times.
Oh, okay. Well, like I say, we've been around the blocks a few times. I guess if I were to see your picture, I would remember, but it's good talking with you anyway.
Well, thank you so much.
Run over.
I was just going to say, Dr. Marshall Thompson, welcome again, everyone, and we would like to just get your thoughts and feelings, the two of you, on the culmination of your 60 years in entertainment. I know Daisy Brown has some questions, and we have audience members pressing one with their hand up. So I am going to step back, Dr. Marsha Thompson, you are being turned over now to the microphone, Dr. Otis Williams.
Brother Otis.
What up?
Happy
what up? How you meeting, Marshall?
Hey, Happy New Year, buddy.
Happy New Year to you as well.
State trips. I know you've been having them stage trips all over, working like crazy, coming back, and I was so happy to receive my honorary doctor's degree, and I knew that you had yours, and you was telling me some things about it. Now, look here. We get the Hollywood Walk of Fame. You had that. I ended up getting that, and also I got the doctor's, honorary doctor's. What do you think about that for a young man who used to go to store for you at 47th Street all the time?
Well, the one thing that's constant in life is change, and that's a marvelous change that here we are talking about the 60s and 70s, and when you all used to do that, go and get us hamburgers and whatever to eat, and here we are talking on the podcast or radio, talking about those old wonderful times. So it's wonderful. I'm enjoying it, and I'm very impressed with what you have been able to do to sustain yourself for as long as the temps damn near. And, you know, get as many wonderful awards that you have. I congratulate you.
You've always been a man, man. I always looked up to you to make me go in the right directions. When I went wrong, you know, I'd give you a call and tell you some things. And you tell me some things, what
That's
to
right.
do about it, because you had the experience before I had it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
in respect
yeah.
Of always
you know. Well, I thank you for that, you know. Respect is something that you earn. It's not a given thing. And I, you know, I try to always, you know, be an open book when somebody like you that I might know that I can help out verbally, you know, or sit down and talk to and ease a troubled soul. So I'm very glad to have acquired that during the course of me being around, you know, just been around 61 years. So I'm just glad that here we are, like I said, talking to each other. From the Regal till now, I never would imagine it, but hey, here it is. One thing that's constant in life is change.
You better believe it. Believe it, buddy. You never know what's in front of you. You know where you've been, but you don't know where you're going. You know, it's all
that's
in
true.
Front. And it's a thing is, that now that I'm getting all these accolades of in the world today, I see it's a really big road out there to go to. It's always climbing further up, further up, further up, you know, all the time.
Well, you know, that's what keeps us, you know, wanting to do better and be better, because there's many doors out there that we must open, you know. And when it comes to bringing the kind of happiness that the Shilash and the Temps are known for, you know, that's a blessed thing because, you know, Marshall, you know how this business is. Show business is so fickle. You can be around for a minute, and that's about all a minute. But here you and I, you know, our group has been around over half a century, you know. So that's a milestone. That's a blessing. So I'm just glad that we can do what we do and keep hope alive in such a crazy world.
It's crazy.
Well, let me jump
it's
in
silly.
Here, gentlemen. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I wanted to jump in and congratulate both of you on your accolades. And I know Daisy Brown came into the picture with the Shilash, like she said, over 50 years ago. So when you all started out, what were the names of your groups? And let's start with Dr. Otis Williams. What was the name of your group when you started out? And then bring us all the way forward to the recent accolades that were given at Music Cares to Berry Gordy and Smokey Robinson. Go
well,
ahead.
Well, Beverly, that's a long story to try and tell in such a short amount of time, you know. So, you know, I'm just thankful that we were at the right place at the right time, being in Detroit, starting off with Jeremy Matthews. And as my play would say, you know, we became very disenchanted with Jeremy Matthews and the her little company, and I had seen Mr. Gordy at a record hop. He was with Smoking the Miracles, and just so happened as fate would have it, him and I were standing side by side when my group finally came off and the Miracles went on, and he was impressed with the record that we had out at the time called Come On. And he said, man, I really like that record you guys have. Come see me. I'm starting my label. And that was 1961. So Like I say, it's such a long story to try and tell, but here we are, you know. There's really no more Motown that we grew up with. I mean, just the museum and a few other things, you know, that's happening. But we're still able to tell about the great days at Motown, the wonderful times and changes that we've gone through. And the one thing that's constant in life is change. And, you know, so it's just wonderful to be able to evolve right along with change. Because like I said at the beginning, show business is fickle, you know. And anybody know the Temptations history, you know the amount of guys that I have lost. You know, and I'm still here. So I always tell people that I don't get sanctimonious because gospel, you know, you have to watch out. But God left me here for a reason. So I'm carrying it on in good stead because there's still work we must do. Marshall, his group, and my group, there's still work we must do. So we're carrying it on still.
Amen. Amen. Dr. Thompson coming in as the highlights. Take us from there to where you are now, as quick as Dr. Williams
well,
just did.
Well, it all started for me and wanting to be in show business, but I had to do my thing to get the right people and the right connections to get where I'm at today. And one of the breaks that I got after dealing with the Temptations with Dave Ruffin and all those guys, Otis and all them, I had to start off somewhere, so I ended up doing my drum thing with Gladys Knight. And got the job at the Wrigley Theater, and that was started the whole thing. I knew I was on my way in the show business side, okay, when I played drum for her for a week, left there, and after Gladys left the Wrigley Theater that week, then I ended up playing with Major Lance on his record, Monkey Time, and that was a huge record. So that gave me a chance to go to Houston, Texas, and different places to learn things out there at Ray Barnett Cinema Club. When I got back from Ray Bonnet Cinema Club, I ended up seeing the guys that went to school with me, Squirrel, Gene, and Red. And I said, hey, we used to sing in the yard at school. And I used to tell them, I said, listen, hey, man, how would y'all like to get the group together and let's go down there and do something? I got some connections now. Got some connections with Carl Davis because of Major Lance. Major Lance is hot as a firecracker. So I went down there. And to see Carl Davis and who was upstairs? Jackie Wilson. Jackie Wilson was upstairs getting ready to record. So I had a chance to play one song on Jackie Wilson's record, well, on the drums. And I was telling Jackie about the group as well. So we ended up coming down there. And we went with Davis. And Jackie Wilson told Carl Davis, hey, you better sign them boys. Them boys could sign. Hey. So that's got down with records. So
adjust your position, Dr. Thompson. We're losing your audio. Adjust your position, please.
Okay.
Dr. Thompson?
You hear me now? You got
yes,
me now?
Go ahead. Yes.
Okay. So it took us 10 years to get the first hit, which was Giveaway. Want to get us out there to take us to the Apollo Theater. Okay, we went to the Apollo Theater and did what we had to do there, came back, Carl put back in the studio, went back, started doing more songs. And then ended up cutting the Have You Seen a record, and we took us a whole year to break that record because we were singing the wrong side. We were singing the B-side for a year. We thought that was a hit, and it wasn't a hit. The B-side wasn't a hit. The A-side was Have You Seen It. So we end up in St. Louis, Missouri, at the Kiel Auditorium with Jackie Wilson, and we got off stage and people were standing up in the seats, jumping up and down, talking about, have you seen it? We say, that's a B-side. We don't say that on no show. The band, they say, you better go out there and tell this place up. You know, they haven't seen us. They were standing all up on the seats. Haven't seen it. So we went out there. We didn't sing the song as much because it was the B-side. So we went out there and sung a cappella because the band didn't even. We did it a cappella. And then we got off stage. We had a standing ovation. Got back to Chicago. I told Carl Davis, hey, Carl, we've been singing that for a whole year. He said, we know all about it. We can better turn it over. And they turned it over. And next thing you know, bang, we was made.
Woo-wee. All right, let's jump back over to Dr. Otis Williams. We understand that the Hitsville Motown Studio in Detroit Museum has been awarded a huge amount of money to keep it going, and they just had you out there. Also, you have the play still making its circuit. You've just finished meeting the gentleman that is playing you. So summarize for us what all of that feels like, Dr. Williams.
Well, I tell you, it's a wonderful event, and I often go back in history and think about the evolution of Motown. Like I will always say, there's a sit-down section that the Temps do when we are on stage. And I think our audience is happy to see us not always jumping around and singing, that we can sit down and hold a good conversation with them. And I tell them that there will never, ever be another recording company like Motown Records. Never, ever. Motown did something that no other company that time and the time of right now will ever think about doing. Aside from being with a company that is known for so many fantastic, talented artists, songwriters, producers, and what have you, the songs that came out of that little two-story family flat down, we call it the Snake Pit, I go there still, and I stand there in the doorway, and I say, my God, all those hits came out of that little studio. And to know that it is being turned into a wonderful museum, you know, yes, my Marion Terry, she called me, texted me a few weeks ago and was telling me about the government awarded Motown Records $10 million. Now, they already had $55 million for the annexation of Motown. And I, you know, I look at it and I said, that little two-story family flat, 2648 West Grand Boulevard, came along during the most tumultuous times of the 60s. And often we had to deal with a lot of things that, you know, was going on at that time. But, you know, here we are talking about it and being recognized for the uniqueness of Motown, because what also made Motown so different was that there was a school called Artist Development right there in Motown. Most companies are not going to spend that kind of money to find some wonderful thespians that taught us about being in show business. And they would tell us, Maurice King, Charlie Atkins, Lon Fontaine, Johnny Allen, we would have to be at Motown at 10 o'clock in the morning and rehearse until 5 or 6 o'clock. They were grooming us to go to the smart rooms, like the Copa. We held a record at the Copacabana, breaking all existing records there, and at the Apollo. So when I reflect back on all that, there's a reason for that company to come along at that point in time and to have so many wonderful, talented artists there. It's a story untold in the real sense of, you know, what's happening. And I'm just happy to be part of that. And we carry on the Motown legacy. And I, you know, like I've always said, you could have tipped me over with a feather, for I would believe that my life story would be going on out on the road. It's here in this, America right now, but it's getting ready to open up in England in April. We'll be there for 40 weeks at one of the fantastic theaters there. And then it's going to go on a world tour. So I never would imagine, you know, the Temptations history and how we evolved would be going over the way it's going over. And it is loved everywhere it has been shown. So, you know, my pit of knowledge and experience is endless. You know, I can tell certain stories that people, I've had to tell certain things, and people end up crying. So, it's something to think back on, and I just thank God every day for the blessing.
Amen, mm-hmm. Amen. Before we take questions from our callers, and before we run out of time, according to Dr. Williams' schedule, I do want to acknowledge Reverend Dr. Joseph Jackson Jr., one of our sponsors. If you have a question, jump right in. I know Daisy Brown has a special story and history that goes back to Eddie Kendricks, and I hope that she will embellish us with some tidbits from that. And before I turn it back over, just my final question to both of you gentlemen would be, of all the places you've played in the world, What was your favorite, and is there anywhere that you would have liked to play that you haven't? And we'll start with you, Dr. Thompson.
Okay, well, my special place that we played is London, England, at the Hammersmith Odeon. That's one of the special places that remind me of every time I hit the street. The BBC in England, it built special stages for the spotlight. It built four platforms, and that platform came from the stage all the way to the people to come in. And never like that. That was on the BBC. That's the biggest network in the in Europe. The BBC. And that was the beginning of me knowing that we really have arrived.
Yeah, we saw the picture with Elton John putting on your jacket on stage, Dr. Godfather.
Well,
Dr. Williams.
When he came on, we did have the dinner. You know, he jumped up on stage and started sing, took my coat, and Elton John put my coat on and started singing, having the singles. That was cute.
Wow. Wow. Dr. Williams, same question. Of all the places in the world that you have played, what was your favorite place, and is there any place that you wish you would have played and haven't played? Wait, before you go, Dr. Williams, Dr. Thompson, any place that you wish you would have played and haven't as yet?
Well, we've been to so many places. We get crossover records, you go everywhere. We've been to Australia, Italy, Germany, France, Guam, Singapore, and also I mean Hawaii, Korea. We've been so real. We've been to we're in the Philippines. I mean, we've been everywhere, man, to play. But so it ain't too many left, look like, in the world or in the world to go to. But I'm looking forward to still go to some of them that I have never been to. You know, Japan was very nice. Well, I had about 15 passports all full.
I know your books got stamps. You know what, Dr. Williams, before we run out of time, the same questions. Dr. Williams, favorite place the Temptations have ever played and any place that you still desire to play? And then caller, I'm coming for you.
Well, say caller, I'm coming out for you.
No, I'm letting our callers that are holding know that I will come for them after you answer your question.
Well, I'm kind of going to go off the thing of we have performed indescribable places. But the one that I like to make mental note on is I never would imagine when President Obama was in the White House. We were at the White House, and when we first got there, they said, Tiff, President Obama have a lot of dignitaries coming. He might not get a chance to see you. So we said, okay, and they showed us around the White House. And I guess we were walking, whereas he could see the Tiff. And President Obama says, is that Otis and the Tiff? And one of the people said, yeah, that's Otis and the Tiff. He said, oh, hold up. Tell him I want to see him. So they came and got us and brought us to the Oval Office. And we were standing there, you know, goo-goo eyeing each other, you know, the wonderful accomplishment that President Obama, you know, being our first black president, and he was saying the same thing about us being who we are. But the thing that really sticks out is that we were talking about the Temps Silent Night, or what, Silent Night, or White Christmas, Silent Night. And
Silent Night.
He said, man, I love that Silent Night, and would you believe that he started singing and we did the harmony behind him and he was singing it. And I said, President Obama, you could be a temptation. You're tall, you're nice looking. And, you know, you really, he said, oh, no, Tim, I'll let y'all do that. Yeah, y'all do what you do good. And, you know, I'll do what I do. I only mention that is because out of all the places that we've performed, all the big time TV shows we've done, ain't too many blacks anyway can get up there in the Oval Office and sing to our first American black president. We did that.
All right.
Wow, wow. Well, my time has expired. I am so honored that we were able to make this happen. Our producer, Daisy Brown, has a story that she will be telling us. But before we do, caller with the last numbers, 1-8. Caller, the last numbers of your number is 1-8, and I'm attempting to open your line given the computer is...
Hello?
Go ahead, caller.
Hello?
You're there. Yes, caller,
can you
who's
hear me?
Calling? Yes,
yes,
you can. Who's...
I would like to tip my hat. My name is Keith. I'd like to tip my hat off to Otis and the Temptations and also the Shy Lights. I've had the opportunity to share the stage with the Shy Lights when Squirrel was still there, and then he passed away. It was such a sad moment. And I am the lead singer. Daisy, how you doing? Of the Persuaders.
I'm fine, baby. Hello.
And,
the Persuaders.
How are you? And Daisy, do you know we have a show in Baltimore at the Morgan State Music Hall 25th of February?
I'll be
well,
there.
Well, before you start advertising, let me ask you if you have a question for the Shy Lights or the Temptations.
Yes, I got something I want to say to Otis. I got something I want to say to Otis.
I
got to
go. I got to go.
He's got to go.
This is real fast. This is real fast. Dennis was messing up, and some guys came to Baltimore to Marvay's house, who is kin to one of the Braxton brothers, who was a boxer, to audition for Dennis's place. I went to that audition, and the two guys that were there said, you know what, man, you sound like Dennis, you sound like David, but there's one problem. I said, what is it? He said, you're too short. And I said, I'm going to tell you all the truth. I started crying. I said, look, I can wear heels like Prince.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling in. And we appreciate your comments. Now, Dr. Otis Williams, with respect to your time, we want to thank you for being here on the show, and it is an honor, privilege, and a pleasure. Dr. Thompson, please excuse your guest for us.
She's always speaking my mind in the music business. Otis, go and take this, man. God bless you, man, and keep up the good work. And let's have, we got God on our side, in and out of town, back and forth for many years, so we've been blessed. So enjoy yourself and take care of your business.
All right, brother, you do like
and God bless you,
I
sir.
Love talking with you.
God,
thank you,
God
darling.
Bless
thank
you.
You. Bless you, too. Same
thank
too.
You so much. Thank you so much, Dr. Williams, Dr. Thompson. And we're going to hear a piece about black history when we take this break. This is by Smokey Robinson, and we'll be right back on Soul School Music with Marshall Thompson.
Robinson.
I love being black. I love being called black. I love being an American. I love being a black American. But as a black man in this country, I think it's a shame that every few years we get a change of name. Since those first ships arrived here from Africa that came across the sea, there were already black men in this country who were free. And as for those who came over on those terrible boats, they were called nigger and slave and told what to do and how to behave. And then Master started tripping, doing his midnight tipping down to the slave shacks where he forced he and great-great-grandma to be together. And if great-great-grandpa protested, he got tarred and feathered. And at the same time, the black men in the country who were free were mating with the tribes like the Apache and the Cherokee. And as a result of all that, we're a parade of every shade. And in this late day and age, you can be sure there ain't too many of us in this country whose bloodline is pure. But according to a geological geographical genealogy study published in Time magazine, the black African people were the first on the scene. So for what it's worth, the black African people were the first on Earth, and through migration, our characteristics started to change and rearrange to adapt to whatever climate we migrated to. And that's how I became me, and you became you. So if we're going to go back, let's go all the way back. And if Adam was black and Eve was black, then that kind of makes it a natural fact that everybody in America is an African American. Everybody in Europe is an African European. Everybody in the Orient is an African Asian, and so on and so on. That is, if the origin of man is what we're going to go on. And if one drop of black blood makes you black like they say, then everybody's black anyway. So quit trying to change my identity. I'm already who I was meant to be. I'm a black American born and raised. And Brother James Brown wrote a wonderful phrase. Say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud. Say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud. Because I'm proud to be black. And I ain't never lived in Africa. And because my great-great-granddaddy on my daddy's side did, don't mean I want to go back. Now, I have nothing against Africa. It's where some of the most beautiful places and people in the world are found. But I've been blessed to go a lot of places in this world. And if you ask me where I choose to live, I pick America, hands down. Now, by and by, we were called Negroes. And after a while, that name was banished. Anyway, Negro is just how you say black in Spanish. Then we were called colored. But shit, everybody's one color or another, and I think it's a shame that we hold that against each other. And it seems like we reverted back to a time when being called black was an insult. Even if it was another black man who said that a fight would result, because we've been so brainwashed that black was wrong, so even the yellow niggas and the black niggas couldn't get along. But then came the 1960s, when we struggled and died to be called equal and black, and we walked with pride with our heads held high and our shoulders pushed back, and black was beautiful. But I guess that wasn't good enough, because now I had to come with some other stuff. Who comes up with this shit anyway? Was it one or a group of niggas just sitting around one day? Feeling a little insecure again about being called black and decided that African-American sounded a little more exotic. Well, I think you were being a little more neurotic. It's that same mentality that got Amos and Andy put off the air because they were embarrassed about the way the characters spoke. And as a result of that action, a lot of wonderful black actors ended up broke. When we were just laughing and having fun about ourselves. So I say, fuck you if you can't take a joke. You didn't see the Beverly Hillbillies being protested by white folks. And if you think, of course you think, that being called African American sets all black people's minds at ease, since we affectionately call each other nigger, I affectionately say to you, nigger, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, Smokey Robinson, and congratulations to Berry Gordy and Smokey Robinson on their Music Cares Award that was presented to them where the Temptations performed last Friday. We are back live on Soul School Music, honoring the Shy Life and the Temptations. 60-plus years in entertainment. Dr. Otis Williams had to go, but guess what? We're still here. Dr. Marsha Thompson, Daisy Brown, our producer, always helping us hold it down. And I am Beverly, yours truly. I am the creator of Soul School Music on Trap Family Channel. And I want to also state that Soul School Music with Marsha Thompson, with the foreword by Dr. Otis Williams, will be dropping June 1st, Black Music Month, from Gumbo for the Soul Publications. And so we're honored and privileged that we will extrapolate the audio from this show to be included in our major literary installation. Now, we are going to hear from our producer, Daisy Brown. She has a special story about Eddie Kendricks. And I want to tell you, Daisy Brown, Otis told me that Eddie Kendricks' nickname was Cornbread, because he loved cornbread, And so they would shorten it and say Cone. Now, Cone. But, you know, Eddie and Otis didn't get along. But I know you have a story. Tell us your story about Eddie Kendricks. I'm not letting you out of here.
Well, I have a short story about Eddie, but I have a longer story about David.
Drop them all. Which one do you want? We want both of them.
Well, Eddie Kendricks actually was when he left the Temptations, he took the group, the Young Senators, as his band. And my play brother was the guitarist. They called him Ghost. Calvin Charity, who is now resting in heaven, was Eddie's guitarist. So we spent a lot of time together, you know, family house and everything. And, of course, David was very close to the family. He became very close. And the Young Senators, being out of Washington, D.C., he spent a lot of time in this area. So we got a chance to spend a lot of time together. But when I was 15 years old, I met David Ruffin at an affair. I was in the, like a center, like Job Corps, and because I decided I was grown. But anyway, the organization that I was with, we had an affair, and I was telling David's manager that I wanted to sing and write. So his manager was impressed, and he sent he went back to and told David, he said, it's a young lady out there. She wants to sing. She wants to write. So he says, well, send her here. So I went back there, and I started talking to David. And David says, well, I'm getting ready to do a show in Boston, Massachusetts. And I said, and I can never say that word right. So anyway, he says, I need to speak to your mother. So I gave him my mother's phone. I gave him the phone number. He called my mother, and he asked her, would she have a problem with me coming to Boston since I wanted to be a part of show business, and he would have a chaperone to take care of me. And my mother says, I don't know you. Who are you? And he says, I'm one of the Temptations. She says, well, who are the Temptations? Because my mother was married to a pastor, so, of course, that was a no-no. So anyway, they let me after about 5 phone calls to my mother, she said, okay, since I was going to have a chaperone. And then, so I went, and I had a chaperone. I had never flown before. I got smart and caught the bus up. So David told his chauffeur when he got ready to take me back to the airport, I thought I was going to the bus station. They tricked me and pushed me through the gate at the airport and said, call us when you get home. So that was my first flight. And then I met the Shylights. By then, I was really, really in love with show business. And when Marshall reached out and said, come on and we can work with together, I was like, yes. Now I had 4 new brothers, Marshall, Squirrel, Red, and Gene. And that was how I got with the Shylights, being a part of Eddie, David allowing me to experience the thrill of travel, because it was just so exciting to me. I just couldn't forget about it. So anyway, that's how it all began. And now I've been with Marshall since 1971.
Wow. Well, congratulations, Daisy Brown, super producer of Soul School Music. And I'm loving all of the different stories that I have heard from you. I would be looking forward to your book if I could talk you into writing it. But, you know, audience, she knows too much. They will be coming looking for her.
I know where the bodies are buried.
She knows where all the bodies are buried. Not just the bodies, all the bodies.
Now, I thought I heard Dr. Jackson saying something. Our sponsor, Reverend Dr. Joseph Jackson Jr., I could have swore I heard his voice. You tell me. Okay, I could be wrong, but I will tell you this. Dr. Marshall Thompson, congratulations to celebrating 60.
50-plus years in entertainment. Congratulations to your Hollywood Walk of Fame star. Congratulations to your residency at the Rio Hotel and Casino inside the Duomo in Las Vegas, Nevada. Congratulations to your Presidential Lifetime Achievement Award. And last, but certainly not the least, congratulations to your Honorary Doctorate of Humane Letters, Dr. Marshall Thompson.
You forgot the one from the House of Representatives in Houston, Texas as well. That day in Houston was awesome, and I'm just so grateful that I could be there, be a part of it, and to watch my brother receive his rewards and his awards. It was just a beautiful day, and I'm just so grateful that I could be there. And Marshall, I love you so much because, you know, I've learned so much from you down through the years, and, you know, we've had a little tiffs and whatever you want to call them, but they've all been in love, and I just want you to know that I love you so much. And I thank you for everything that you've done for me, because I have grown immensely because of your love and your teachings.
Right on. Well, I'll tell you one thing. We knew you were going to work for us when you walked in that room with that shape and that body. We said, you come in with us anyway. you couldn't get away from us. We didn't know you was going to be. I didn't know. I didn't know I was your brother. I didn't know what we were going to be.
The truth is out. Daisy Brown is a bad mama jamma, y'all. All right. Well, we're getting ready to party and go out on some music, and I just want to thank everybody. I'm still hearing Reverend Dr. Joseph Jackson Jr., our sponsor. Did you have a word for a bird?
Well, I was a listener when you presented Dr. Marshall Thompson, honoring him after he received his doctorate, and he had so many of his old buddies, as guests, Gerald Alston and Khalila Ali. You remember that show? And I didn't get a chance to congratulate Dr. Marshall Thompson on his all of his awards. And so I'm taking this time to congratulate you, Doctor, for your contribution to the world with regards to your creative artistry. And I'm glad that I know you. I've met you, man, So congratulations. Mm-hmm. And, I have a conversation there now and then with Miss, Daisy Brown. And I'm glad that you mentioned why you knew that she had to become a part of the satellite because of her beautiful extremities and beauty. So next time, Dr. Marshall, Daisy Brown knows the next time we have a conversation, she knows what my topic is going to begin with her. Thank you.
Oh, God.
Thank you, Dr. Thompson.
You know what, y'all?
That was Dr. Marshall Thompson. I can't thank you enough because that was the evidence that I need. And if anybody knows Daisy Brown, you know what I mean? She's been with you for 60 plus years. That bit of information, she knows what's coming when we connect the next time. Thank you, sir.
Oh, Lord. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have had a very celebrated
Indeed. We have had a very celebratory time here honoring the Shy Life and the Temptations, 60-plus years in entertainment, live on Tribe Family Channel's Soul School Music with Dr. Marshall Thompson. I want to thank our listeners, our sponsors, our guests, and our producer, and most of all, we couldn't have this show if we didn't have the artistry of Dr. Marshall Thompson. So go ahead and close us out, Dr. Marshall Thompson, and thank you once again. We're looking forward to February 19th, our new day for celebrating Valentine's at the Duomo inside the Rio. So visit Ticketmaster.com and get your ticket to the Shy Light. Dr. Marshall Thompson, close us out, please.
Well, I hope everybody enjoyed the show tonight. I got my guys here with me, right here at my home. We getting ready to hit that stage on the 19th. Next movement. Next movie. That everybody know about next movement in Las Vegas. We got one Tipton here. And then we let them say a few words before we get out to our close out. And I'd like to say it was a great show tonight with Miss Otis Williams and the Temptation. Now we got the next movie. We're going to let them holler about you and tell you a few things about their career.
Hey, we're going to
turn you over to our producer, Daisy Brown, so that she will guide you all through this section. Please, go ahead.
How you doing? This is Cornell Haywood from the South Side.
Oh, hello.
Just been out here in Vegas about 30 years now, working the Strip and other parts of the United States, having a good time.
Welcome to the Shy Lights show. I know that's a big time. I'm looking forward to meeting you guys, I'll tell you that. But I probably won't get out that way no time soon. I'm actually in Baltimore. But I'm looking forward to meeting you. And the next person is?
I'm Earl Shelby, and it's a pleasure talking with you, Daisy.
Thank you.
I just wanted to thank Marshall for allowing us the opportunity to perform along with him at this point in his career. You know, it's just a blessing just to be a part of the Shy Lights at this point, even though we've been doing Next Movement all of our years. But it looks like all the dues that we paid over the years has brought us to this point. So I just want to thank Marshall and let you all know that it's a pleasure.
It is.
We look forward
wonderful?
For you all.
And so next we have.
We do together.
Next
and,
we have.
Yeah. Hello, Daisy. You and Beverly know me well. I'm Warren Tipton. Been with Marshall and the Shy Lights for 5 years, singing lead. And I've certainly enjoyed my experience. It's been the epitome of my music career. I've been singing for over 30-some years. But when I got the call in 2018 to join Marshall and the Shy Lights, it was definitely my highlight. So
you've been doing a great job.
Well, thank you very much. It's been great meeting you. You and Beverly, two beautiful ladies, and look forward to seeing you all whenever you come back to Vegas or seeing you guys on the road.
Well, you know,
Beverly's
in Vegas. I'm just not there. I'm the solo one. So do we have another member? Is there another member?
Oh, that's it. All right.
Okay.
We want to thank everybody.
Well, MT, before you say goodbye, I just want to say this. For so many years, I've been calling you MT, and now I'm elated to call you Dr. T. So good night, Dr. T, and next
okay.
movement.
Make sure you get another doctor when you get sick.
I promise you.
I appreciate everything. So we're sitting up here and enjoying ourselves. And tell everybody, I know all the listeners out there that around the world, we got quite a few. I know they're in there listening. They always do. Tell them that we're here doing what we do, and we enjoyed it. And I enjoyed having my good friend Otis Williams on the show tonight with us.
That was a real treat. Wonderful. So thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Daisy Brown, always holding it down, producing nothing but royalty and excellence right here with Dr. Marshall Thompson on Soul School Music. Thank you once again, Queen of Diamonds, Daisy Brown. Thank you so much to our sponsor, Reverend Dr. Joseph Jackson Jr., the leader of the Tougaloo Nine, led, trained, and mentored by the late, great Megger Wiley Evers. We want to thank you for your contribution, your sacrifice, and your courage. We're still fighting for the voting rights that your mentor was assassinated for, and we will not stop until this country redeems the blood from her soil. Yeah, I said it. Smokey Robinson on here cussing. I can't say that. All right. And Dr. Marshall Thompson of the Shy Light, thank you so much once again for making this possible. We are looking forward to your book, Soul School Music, with Dr. Marshall Thompson, forward by Dr. Otis Williams, y'all. Coming out of Gumbel for the Soul Publications, our parent company, and you can reach them by logging on to gumbelforthesoulinternational.com. Again, I'm Beverly Black. It's an honor, privilege, and a pleasure. We're going to close out the show partying because what? This is Soul School Music live on Tribe Family Channel, a Gumbel for the Soul International family brand. Have a blessed evening. Happy Black History Month. And remember, fellas, if you don't do nothing else, hear me closely now. If you don't do nothing else, you better do this.
Good night, everybody.
Night.
Good night, all.
Tribe Family Channel. Tribe Family Channel.